Morning. Open your Bibles this morning to John chapter 14. Do you remember the kids' game called Simon Says? How the thrill of the game was not just in the moves made, but in the listening and the swift obedience to the commands of Simon. How one slip up, a misstep, or a failure to obey Simon's command could disqualify you from the game. Do y'all remember that?
Yeah.
As we continue our journey in our sermon series, My Pledge to God, today we are focusing on a principle that might feel similar to the game, but bears far greater weight and results. A principle that shapes our relationship with God, defines our spiritual growth, and impacts our world in profound ways. Today, we're going to preach on I am obedient. I obey God in everything. I am obedient. In a world where independence is celebrated and autonomy is praised, the concept of obedience may seem restrictive, even outdated. But in the kingdom of God, obedience takes on a different meaning. It's not just about following orders or adhering to rules. It's about a joyful, loving response to the one who first loved us. Obedience is not just a call to religious duty, but a call to relationships, a detailed, vibrant relationship with God. It's an echo of love, a testament of trust, a mark of discipleship. It's an opportunity to align our lives with God's will, to understand His best for us, and to make a difference in our world. So, with that understanding, let us prepare our hearts and open our minds as we delve into what it truly means to pledge, I am obedient. May God guide us and speak to us in this journey. Open your Bibles to John chapter 14. If you'll stand with me, we'll read verses 12 through 15. Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, and that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Notice verse 15. "If you love me, keep my commandments." Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word. We thank you, Lord, for the message you gave me today. We ask you, Lord, that you would help us all be obedient to your word, and that we might have open minds and open hearts today as we dive into this message, and help everyone here see the need to be obedient to your word. We ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Today, we start with obedience and our relationship with God. Let's start our journey at the heart of the matter. Obedience is not a standalone concept. It's woven into our relationship with God. It's like the pulse that beats in our spiritual heart. Let's unpack this further. The scripture says in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, if you love Jesus, you'll obey his word. If you love Jesus, you'll obey everything he says and does. If you love Jesus, these command here is keep my commandments. These are not the words of a stern taskmaster, but of a loving Savior. Jesus links our obedience to him with our love for him. Why? Because love, in its genuine form, responds. It responds in devotion, in sacrifice, and in this case, in obedience. When we truly love God, obedience becomes not just an obligation, but an opportunity to express our love for him, to honor him. In our any relationship, communication is key. And any part of effective communication is an active listening. Our relationship with God is no different. Obedience involves active listening to his word, his guidance, his spirit. If we do not listen to the commands of God, if we do not read his word to find out what we should do, if we do not listen to the yearning of the Holy Spirit and his leadership, we are not following, and ultimately we don't love God enough to follow that spirit. Listen to me, my friend. If you love God, you will follow him. You will do everything he says to do. It's like turning our spiritual radio to God's frequency, aligning our thoughts, our desires, and our actions to his. The psalmist tells us, thy word is lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Notice what David said. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It shows me the way to go. It tells me the way to live. It does everything I need to do to please God. That word of God is what we live by, what we should obey, and what we should always do in this life. We should always follow God's word. If we listen to God's word, we discover his heart, his will, and his ways. As we follow, we express our obedience. We might ask, how can we, with our imperfections and weakness, and walk in obedience? The good news is, we don't walk alone. The good news is, God is always with us. God doesn't command obedience, he enables it. He strengthens us, guides us, and empowers us. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Listen to me, my friend. You never walk alone in this life. If you're a Christian, you always have the Spirit that's guiding you. You always have God that's given you the motion to walk and to serve him. It's always God that helps you walk in every way. Listen, it's not about walking alone. It's about trusting God to give us that path that we should walk in. Obedience, then, is a partnership, a dance with the divine, where God leads and we follow. We lean on his strength, trust in his wisdom, and rely on his grace to help us obey. So when we say, I'm obedient, We're really saying, I love God, I listen to God, and I lean on God. Amen. We love God when we obey Him. We show our love to Him when we listen to Him. And when we lean on Him, we have every path that we need to walk. This, my friend, is what God wants us to do. He wants us to love Him. He wants us to listen to Him. And He wants us to lean on Him. We're pledging to love Him deeply, listen to Him carefully, and lean on Him firmly. As we do, we deepen our relationship with Him and grow in our spiritual journey. We discover the joy, the blessings, and the fulfillment that comes from walking in sync with God, our Maker. Secondly, we want to talk about our obstacles to obedience. As we journey on this path of obedience, it's important to recognize that there will be roadblocks along the way, speed bumps that can slow us down, and even detours that can lead us off course. As we navigate these obstacles, it's essential that we identify them, understand them, and learn how to overcome them. Let's discuss some of these obstacles. Number one, stubborn self-will. We all have our own choices to make. Many times, we want to do what we want to do instead of whether God wants us to do it. Many times, we're so self-stubborn that we try to do our thing instead of God's thing. Isn't it true that we all have a sense of what we want, how we want it, and when we want it? This is our self-will, our desires, our ambitions, and our plans. And while it's not wrong to have personal desires and goals, they become a problem when they compete with or deny God's will. The Garden of Eden is a perfect example. Eve saw the fruit, desired it, and took it, ignoring God's clear command. Her self-will led to her disobedience. So, we must ask ourselves today, are there areas where our self-will is overpowering God's will? Is our stubborn self-will blocking our obedience to God? Is there things in your life that you fail to do away with so that you can follow God's will? Is there anything in your life that gets in the way of your following God's will? It may be family. It may be anything that we have personally that's keeping us from following God's will attentively. And this, my friend, is our stubborn self-will getting in the way. Number two, subtle trap. Traps. Traps is a journey of obedience often come in subtle and unsuspecting ways. They can disguise as good things, but if they lead us away from obeying God, they become traps. It could be a relationship, a career path, a business deal, or even a ministry opportunity. If it's not in line with God's guidance, it can trap us into disobedience. King Solomon is a perfect example. His marriages to foreign women, although politically advantageous, led him into adultery, disobeying God's clear command. We need to be discerning, as are these subtle traps that are leading us away from obedience. Thirdly, shaky faith. Doubts, fears, Lack of faith can be significant obstacles to obedience. When God calls us to do something that seems risky, difficult, or impossible, our faith can waver. Remember the Israelites at the border of the promised land. Fear of the giants in the land led to disobedience and delayed their entry into the blessing God had promised. Today, let us ask ourselves, is our shaky faith causing us to disobey God's guidance? Is our lack of faith causing us not to do what God has called us to do? Many times our faith wavers. Many times our faith gets weakened by circumstances. Many times our faith is not as strong as it should be, that we can follow God's will. Many people today find their faith wavering. I remember when I was first called to preach, my faith was not strong at all. I told God every excuse why I couldn't go into the ministry. When God first called me, I got down at the altar and I gave him every excuse why I couldn't preach God's word. I told him I didn't know scripture. I told him I didn't have a good memory. I couldn't remember scripture. I told him that I was too young. I gave God every excuse that I could give him. You know what he said to me down in my spirit? He said, it's not about what you can do. Amen. It's about what I can do through you.
Amen. Amen.
And I accepted that call to preach at my father-in-law's church at the age of 26. I accepted that call. And I've been preaching the Word of God ever since. I can remember a lot of scriptures, but I can't remember all the Bible. I don't think anybody can. God doesn't expect us to remember everything. The Bible says that the Spirit brings all things back to our remembrance when we need them. We need to trust in God's wisdom. We need to trust that the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us. We need to trust that the Holy Spirit will give us the words to say when we need to say them. Listen, my friend, we can't possibly remember all of what God wants us to know, but God will equip us, God will teach us, and God will make sure we have the words to say when we need to say them. Recognizing these obstacles, our stubborn self-will, subtle traps, and shaky faith is the first step towards overcoming them. As we understand them and confront them, we can move forward in our commitment to obedience, even amidst obstacle challenges. Thirdly, overcoming the obstacles. We're going to talk about overcoming the obstacles. The Bible reminds us in 1 Corinthians 10:13. If you'll turn over to 1 Corinthians 10:13, I want to show you a scripture that helps us overcome any obstacle that we face in life. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There had no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with with that temptation, also make a way to escape, that you be able to bear it. This is a beautiful assurance and reassurance that with God's help, we can overcome the obstacles to our obedience. So how do we do this? Surrender, first of all, surrendering self-will. The first step to overcoming our stubborn self-will is surrendering it to God. This means giving up our agendas, our plans, our ambitions, and seeking God's will above all. Jesus set the perfect example in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done." Jesus said, "I don't want to do my will. If I wanted to do my will, I wouldn't go to the cross. If I did my will, I wouldn't be beaten on the way to the cross. If I did my will, I wouldn't have a crown of thorns placed on my head and the spears stuck in my side." But Jesus said, "Not my will, but yours be done. I want your will to be done." That's what we should do. We should say, "God, complete your will for my life." Listen, my friend, when you're following God's will, you're following the best laid plans for your life. When you're following God's will, everything's going to turn out right. Surrendering our self-will isn't about losing ourselves. It's about finding our true selves in the will of God. It's about trusting that His plan for us are far better than anything we can plan, dictate, or move in our direction. It's about choosing God's will over ours. The second thing we can do to help us overcome obstacles is spotting the traps. To overcome the indirect that can lead us to disobedience, we need discernment. We need to be vigilant, prayerful, and grounded in God's Word. The more we know God's Word, the better equipped we are to spot these snares. The psalmist declares, "I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Think about that. When you got God's word in your heart, you know how to live. When you got God's word in your heart, you will not make a mistake. When you got God's word in your heart, you know the will of God for your life. Think about that, my friend. That's very important. By immersing ourselves in Scripture, seeking God's guidance in prayer, and exercising wisdom, we can avoid the traps that can lead us away from obeying God. Thirdly, strengthen your faith. Strengthen your faith. Our shaky faith can be stabilized when remembering God's faithfulness, His power, and His promises. Strengthen your faith. Listen, my friend, God cannot lie. Every promise in God's Word is true. You can remember, I have problems today believing that everything that happens to me will turn out to my good. Why? Because I lost my wife. And then God caused this brain damage. I can't see anything that can happen good out of this. But I know God promised, all things work together for the good to those that love God and are called according to His purpose. I know God has a plan for me. I know God has a mission for me. I know God is working in my life. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, because I trust God's word, I trust His faithfulness, I trust that even though I'm suffering, even though I miss Terry greatly, God is going to make everything turn out to my good. God is constantly working. So, it's a question for you today. Will you trust God when things are going wrong? Will you trust God when you can't see a way through it? Will you trust God when everything looks chaotic in your life? Will you still trust God that everything can work out to your good? Listen, reflecting on how He comes through for us in the past can bolster our faith in the present. Immersing ourselves in Scripture can strengthen our faith, reminding us of God's faithfulness to generations before us. Remember, I'll tell you how you can remember. Remember the children of Israel when they were going to the promised land. Remember, because of their disobedience, they traveled in the wilderness 40 years. But God still gave them the land that flows with milk and honey. He gave them the promised land. God was faithful. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were in the fiery furnace. Remember them. They came out of that fiery furnace without even the smell of smoke on their body. Remember Daniel in the lion's den for preaching the word of God. But he came out unscathed. He came out with even a bite on his body. Remember how God has been faithful to all the people in Scripture, and that will help strengthen your faith. Surrounding ourselves with faith-filled believers can encourage us and uplift us in our journey of faith. As we strengthen our faith, we can become more resilient in our obedience to God. Overcoming these obstacles is not about our strength, our wisdom, or our effort. It's about relying on God's strength, seeking His wisdom, and resting in His grace. It's about choosing daily with God's help to say yes to God and no to anything that would hinder our obedience. As we do, we experience the joy, peace, and fulfillment that comes from walking in obedience with our Savior. Fourthly, outcomes of obedience. I want to talk about the outcomes of our obedience. Listen, my friend, there's joy that will overflow our heart. Finally, as we journey on this path of obedience, it's important to understand the outcomes or the fruits that come from obeying God. Obedience isn't an end in itself. It is a means to an end, a path that leads to profound blessings and incredible transformation. Let's explore this further. One of the most profound outcomes of obedience is peace. When we walk in God's ways, we enjoy a sense of peace that surpasses understanding. This isn't the world's version of peace, absence, or conflict, or problems. No, this is God's peace, steadfast assurance or calm, no matter the storms that surround us. It is the peace that Jesus promised to his disciples the peace the world can neither give nor take away. As we obey God, we align ourselves with his will, his patterns, his harmony, and in so doing, we experience his divine peace. Listen, another outcome is prosperity. Now, it isn't prosperity as the world defines it, wealth, power, and fame. The prosperity that comes from obedience is the prosperity of the soul. It's spiritual abundance. It grows in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's growing in wisdom, in character, and it's growing in our faith. It's living a life that is blessed and fulfilling because it's centered on God and His ways. Like Joshua in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shall thou have good success. Joshua was the predecessor or the man that followed Moses in leading the children of Israel into the promised land. Moses was not allowed to go in there. Why? Because he disobeyed God. Amen. He struck the rock into the tap in the rock. So he was not allowed to go into the promised land. Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land. Moses was buried right outside the promised land in a place that only God knew. Listen, my friend. Joshua said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." He was talking to the Israelites when he said this. "That thou mayest observe to do it according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." When we walk in obedience, we also walk in God's purposes for our lives. We align ourselves with His plans, His vision, His destiny for us. We become co-laborers with God, partners in His redemptive work on earth. We begin to live lives of significance, of impact, and eternal value. We become, as Ephesians 2:10 puts it, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them." When we say, "I am obedient," we're saying, "I'm ready to enjoy God's peace, prosper in my soul, pursue His purposes." We are inviting God to work in us, through us, for His glory. And as we do, we begin to live lives of deep meaning, abundant blessings, and divine purpose. In closing, obedience is not simply about following rules or adhering to commands. It's about aligning our lives with the heart of our loving Heavenly Father. It's about saying yes to God out of love, not out of obligation. It's about opening ourselves up to His leading, His shaping, His transforming power in our lives. The journey of obedience is a journey of love, trust, and transformation. It's a journey where we experience the peace that surpasses understanding, prosperity of our soul, and a purpose that aligns with God's divine plan. It's a journey that takes us deeper into God's heart. Listen, my friend, closer to His likeness and further into His kingdom work. As we pledge ourselves to this journey of obedience, let's remember the words of Jesus in John 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Our obedience is a powerful expression of our love for God, a love that is reciprocated with His abundant blessings, His unfailing faithfulness, and His incomparable peace. So let us walk forward with our heads held high and our hearts committed, declaring with conviction and sincerity, I am obedient. May our obedience bring glory to God, growth to our souls, and grace to those who encounter on our journey. Amen. Listen, my friend. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Amen. If you love me, you'll do what I've called you to do. Amen. If you love me, you'll follow my ways. Amen. Listen, we all need to adhere to God's word. That's why He gave us this book. There's no better book to read than the Bible. Amen. He gives us instructions of how to live, how to obey God, how to please God, and how to have a fulfilling life. Amen. No other book can do that. You may read every book in the world, but you'll never read a book quite like the Bible. Amen. That gives you the promises of God, that gives you an example of what God did to people in the past, how He brought them into the future, and how He comforted those. I remember the Apostle Paul when he asked the Lord 3 times to heal him. The Bible doesn't tell us what that thorn in Paul's side was. It could have been a vision problem. It could have been a speaking problem. It could have been anything. But Paul said to Jesus, heal me. He asked Jesus to remove it from him. But what did Jesus say? My grace is sufficient. I'll be with you every step of the way. You just obey me. You just do what I've called you to do, and I'll be with you. Listen, my friend, God cannot lie. He's never told a lie. He cannot lie. We need to trust in His promises. Believe that He is with us every day to strengthen us, to help us, and His grace will always be there for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, for this message You've given me today. We pray, God, that everyone here will hear it and adhere to it. Lord, we ask You, Lord, that You'll help us all to be obedient to Your word, even when it goes against what we have planned, even when we think that it's not the right path to go. We ask You, Lord, that You'll help us to be that kind of person in our lives today. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.